Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR. Everybody, welcome to episode 119 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me. Today on the podcast, I'll be bringing in Tracy Wilson to talk about a lot of stuff. A lot has gone on in the last 2 weeks, as you well know, if you're paying attention to things. And we had mentioned that maybe we would do a podcast in the next week. There was no possible way that I could have ever done that. It's funny, I got a complaint about it. Why didn't you do a video update? I'm like, okay, I can only do so much, man. I'm just a person after all. So anyway, you're getting your podcast now. A lot has happened, so we got a lot to talk about, and I only have a few things I want to cover with you before I bring Tracy on. But before that, let's thank our sponsors, Vortex, the force of optics. So thanks to our friends over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate that. You can check out all their great stuff at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Also, our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers Chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, and that includes supporting the CCFR, and they've been really, really great to us. If you want to check out all the great work they do, you can find them at saskriversseci.com. That's saskriversseci.com. And our new sponsors, CTOMS. CTOMS Academy provides life-saving training in trauma care and human performance. It's perfect for outdoor enthusiasts, hunters, shooters, anyone wanting to be prepared for emergencies. You can check them out at ctomsinc.com. That's ctomsinc.com. And finally, our great friends over at North Pro Sports in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. You can find firearms, ammunition, archery, cold weather gear, you name it, you'll find it there. Check them out at northprosports.com. That's northprosports.com. All right. And a couple of things I want to talk to you about real quick is CCFR Radio on the Air. As you know, that was our television show. We did a pilot season just to see what it would look like, you know, whether it would work or not. And it was just to get more gun owners involved in fighting for their right to own and use firearms, obviously. And it was a lot of work. It was 13 episodes as the pilot season. And then when that finished, which was a few weeks ago, I had mentioned that maybe we were going to do monthly update shows so that we don't lose momentum, right? Because if you remember, the reason why we did that was not to preach to the choir, not to get, you know, to reinforce the same things with the same people. It is to get more gun owners active, get more gun owners, get them to understand that unless they play an active role in politics at least once every 4 years or so, or whatever, you know, in the election cycle, they're going to lose all their stuff. They have to play that active role. And so that work is important for the CCFR to do, because I don't see it being done as it is. So we've got to get all gun owners interested in protecting their own ability to own these firearms, or it's going to be gone for all of us. And the problem with people that aren't active is by the time they get aware, by the time they get motivated, it's already too late. So in the case of maybe people that were handgun owners that, you know, weren't politically active, and there's a lot, because, you know, as I said before, I know that there are somewhere around 70,000 gun owners that are really active, that are really engaged. And there are 640,000 people in Canada, probably 650,000 now, that have a restricted PAL. And of course, well over 2.3 million Canadians have a PAL. So why there's such a small group of people doing all the work, and within that 70,000, and there's, you know, I've explained in the past where I got that number, but within that 70,000, there's probably maybe 30 or 40,000 that are really active, that are really doing something. You know, sharing social media, talking to people, taking people to the range, calling their MP, you know, supporting the CCFR or any other group, you know, that kind of stuff, right? And so, anyway, we need to get people, including handgun owners, who hopefully now are awake, to a point where they're realizing that they have to participate at some level, or they're just going to lose their stuff. And if you lose your stuff, and they're like, you know, where was this? Why was this happening? Who nobody told me? It's like, we're doing everything to tell you, including creating a show to keep you informed, to let you know why you want to be involved. So anyway, I know that was a kind of a roundabout way to explain why we did that show, But that's the reason, right? So I constantly see people, because they come in halfway through a conversation and they're like, you know, you're just preaching to the choir. It's like, well, rewind and watch the whole thing. So anyway, the TV show itself, I think we built some momentum, or I'd like to think so. I've gotten lots of feedback about the show and that people liked it and all the rest of that stuff. But if it just ends, because right now it's in reruns, so it's old information, and this is it's a current events show. So anyway, we could really lose momentum. So I did strike a deal yesterday with WOW TV to do a monthly update show between now and such point as I believe that I could live through another season, because it's a tremendous amount of work. Like, it's so much work to do because I do that show all by myself, right? So anyway, we will be doing a monthly update show. So you can check that out if you have WOW TV. You'll see that all the way through till forever, probably. Next thing, speaking of the television show, the entire season, I have it uploaded to YouTube already. I'm just waiting for thumbnails. And I'm also waiting, I have an audio issue in episode 13, the very last one. So I want to get that fixed before I turn all of them on. So you will have that whole library of the 13 episodes that we did for that television show in a playlist. I don't know, maybe in a week or two from now. Depends when I get all the stuff. So having said that, you can look forward to being able to see those. And I think the value, certainly I wouldn't want to watch myself talking all this time. I can't even stand listening to myself talk. But there's all the interviews. And I think some of the interviews are really interesting. I think they're really cool. So that might be worth watching. Now, next thing. Tracy and I did our chat about a couple of hours ago. I had some other work to do before I did this part. And I realized we forgot to talk about something in all the stuff that we covered, which is someone reached out to Tracy on Twitter a little while back, and it was Doug something. I should have got his name and gave him credit, but I forget. Anyways, Doug on Twitter, at Doug on Twitter. I don't know if that's his handle. Anyway, what he did was he reached out to Tracy to say, hey, you can legally transfer a restricted firearm with a paper form and just send it into the firearms program. And it works just as well as calling there. And he actually went through that process and completed a transfer like that. So I think we did a story on it, but regardless, in any case, in the description box below, you will find a link to that form and an explanation and whatever. I haven't looked at that, what that link is, but that's where you're going to get the form. So you can actually not sit on the Canadian Firearms Program, sit in the queue for 8 hours on the phone to transfer a handgun or other restricted firearm right now. You can go ahead and just do it through a written form and send it in and just wait for that transfer to go through. So if you're not in a hurry, that's one way to do it. Now, remember that when in the technical briefing, public safety said any transfers that are in progress when they put that OIC in to freeze the transfer of registrations, any transfer that's in process will be completed. So there's an opportunity for you to use the paper form and just send it in if you're not like really, really concerned that you need that transfer completed, right? So for me, I'll probably transfer a gun or two to my daughter. She's got a PAL, a restricted PAL, and a gun club membership. So, you know, I'll send in the form and just let it make its way through. Now, if the OIC that freezes the ability to transfer registrations happens before the summer, which is only like a week away for Parliament, something like that. If it happens before the summer, like anybody, like you're all screwed because the firearms program is overloaded. But if I've sent that form in and we have the summer, it's certainly going to be initiated well before the end of summer, which would be great. So, you know, it's not a critical thing that I transfer a handgun to my daughter, but I want her to be able to own a handgun at least, you know, for her lifespan and not be excluded because of obviously, you know, some crazy ideological crusade that Justin Trudeau's on. So anyway, that's another way to do it. Find the information in the description box below. Okay, CCFR media strategy. Now, you may have noticed that that there's a lot more content, social media and video content, stuff like that going on at the CCFR. So if you're looking at our Twitter feed, our Instagram, our TikTok account, which is growing really, really quickly, which is great, or Facebook, all of those, there's a lot, like multiple times more content running through all of those accounts. The reason is we hired someone, our good friend Brandon, and Brandon is doing an excellent job at managing our social media, creating more content, just getting on top of stuff that I can't do or Wilson can't do. So you're going to see a lot more content going through there. And here's what I'm asking of you. When you see content like that, just share it. Like, it's a very small thing that you can do, but it's a very important thing because it tells the algorithms, hey, obviously people are liking this. They're sharing it. Maybe I should expose more people to it. It's really important because as gun owners, we only have so many ways that we can communicate with other gun owners. Don't forget them too. And the general public, and social media definitely is one of those ways. So help us out, share the content. Speaking of which, I just uploaded a video yesterday. By the time you're watching it, for me, it was today. And it was, I forgot the title already, but it has to do with Trudeau and the handgun ban. And it's a really, really great video that we have produced. And there's a lot more of that stuff coming. So it's a really good video that tells the story about why this is bad. So make sure that when you see content like that, you not only share it with people, but you ask people to watch it. Like, here's what I'm talking about. You know, especially if you have a hard time kind of getting through a conversation with somebody, trying to go through all the points in the right order and not forget about stuff. And that's why videos like this are such a great tool, right? So same thing with the explainers, if you remember. So anyway, have a look at that, share it. It's a great video. Last but not least, and this is just kind of an anecdotal thing. I thought it was kind of funny. I turned on the computer just before I started recording this and I turned on Twitter to make sure that that video I just talked about was on Twitter. And because I don't run the CCFR like official Twitter account. I don't have access to it. And anyway, Paulie Sesouvien pops up their Twitter feed because they're always tweeting weird stuff, right? And this is awesome. Check this out. New Leger 360 poll shows 70% of gun owners support a ban on importing, buying, and selling hashtag assault weapons, proving once again that the Canadian gun lobby does not represent gun owners. Hashtag reasonable controls. And, you know, it shows this Leger poll. And if you look at what it says, it's like, number one, gun owners or gun in the house. So this could be anyone. This could be somebody's cousin that lives in the house and someone has a PAL that's not on the phone. Do you want, and then look at this part. It says assault rifle. Should we ban the sale of assault rifles in Canada? Like, when does this, just this ridiculousness with Leger, with Pauly, with the government, this misinformation, this is disinformation is what this is. You're saying, it'd be like, well, should we ban nuclear weapons for private use? And you're like, aren't nuclear weapons banned for private use already? Well, of course we should. See, bam. You know, it's just like, and they always say assault weapons or assault rifles. There are no assault rifles in Canada, for God's sakes. You know, like almost anybody should know this. Like children should know this, right? So anyway, but of course, hey, you know, we're such an unreasonable group. And that says hashtag reasonable controls. What? Like banning semi-automatic rifles, banning handguns, banning everything? Banning all guns, is that reasonable? Reasonable control? You're banning them. You're not controlling them. They were already controlled. So anyway, yeah, it's such a distorted view of what the conversation really is. Anyway, we got to deal with this. These are our political, our political betters here telling us what we should be thinking. Anyway, pretty crazy stuff. Okay, enough of my babbling. I've been going on for 12 minutes, far too long. Let's bring Tracy on. All right, via Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson of the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights, I think. Wilson!
Hey, Giltaka, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not too bad. Beautiful weather here in the nation's capital.
The weather has been absolutely horrific in British Columbia. This is why I pay such a ridiculous amount of money to live here for the climate, and the climate is backfiring. I'm waiting for global warming. I'm waiting for the warming part because it's still like 18 degrees in June here. It's ridiculous.
Well, there's a lot of hot air in Ottawa here, so we've had balmy highs of 30 degrees for over a month now.
Yeah. Maybe I'm paying too much tax. Maybe that's what it is.
Or you must pay more, one or the other.
I can't remember which one it is. Okay. All right. So a lot has happened. We're going to do a podcast last week. We're thinking about it. I never, you know, as I mentioned, I couldn't promise it just because things pop up and whatnot. And there's no way that we could have done it last week for a variety of different reasons. Just ran out of time. But even from just 2 weeks ago, there's a lot going on. So we have a lot to cover, so we'll get right at it. So there's a couple of important aspects of Bill C-21 we should talk about. And I think maybe the best way to start is just to ask a general question. Can I still buy a handgun in Canada?
The answer is yes, if you can find one. So there's a bunch of different things happening with C-21. There are the majority of the measures which will be implemented through legislation, which of course takes anywhere from 6 to 14 months to go through. And then there is the handgun freeze, they're calling it. I'm using air quotes for those of you listening to just the audio, which is a freeze on the sale, purchase, and transfer of legal handguns between legal owners or retailers. That will be implemented through an OIC. That could drop any time, literally. So anybody who tells you you're safe until this time or that time doesn't really know. We're hoping. But yeah, that can be implemented anytime. So as it stands right now, long story short, yes, you can go buy a handgun right now. You're going to want to do it quickly, get that transfer initiated. We did have some information come down through public safety, through a technical briefing. There are still handguns being imported into the country, and all transfers will apparently be completed as long as they have been initiated before the freeze starts.
Yeah, so that's not, you're not guaranteed. So I think I made a video and I put update notes in it and everything about the handgun freeze. But what's really important is no matter what you're doing, you're taking a chance. Because the government can do all kinds of things at any given time, whether or not they want to be sued or whether they care or whether it's right or whether it's wrong. I mean, look at this government. It's like a wounded animal. I mean, looking at everything else that's going on with the liberals, it's just, it's crazy. But that's the environment we're in. So if you're going to buy a handgun, go ahead and try. It looks like you'll be successful, but there's always a chance it may not go through and you could be stuck, owed the money, or businesses could be stuck with the inventory. We don't know. So really important.
Yeah.
Now, something that tends to happen, I get comments, and I'm not going to read the comment that I got, but there's so many, there definitely are people out there that don't understand how our system works. There's people that persist. They don't understand what the CCFR does or why we're doing it. And that manifests itself into very frustrated commentary. And some of these things are aimed at the conservatives too. So probably worth mentioning, the conservatives have attacked this bill and attacked the OIC and the freeze of handguns better than we could have ever asked them to.
Yeah, like I see that too. And I see people commenting like, where's the opposition on this? And I don't know, man. Turn on the TV. Turn on CPAC. Look at their social media. It's all over the place. They've been fighting it. They've been fighting it in committee. They are using every procedural tool in their toolbox. Raquel Doncho, who's the public safety shadow minister, the critic for public safety, she even put forward a motion in committee to scrap C-21 altogether, go back to committee, and craft a new legislation that focuses on crime and illicit guns. And I'm like, wow, what a crazy idea that would be, right? But yeah, they've been able to sort of delay the implementation of that freeze since it was announced. So this is tough when you're trying to do this every single day. Of course, the committees had a lot on their agenda to deal with already. They're doing a bunch of other studies on other issues. And of course, the Minister Mendicino is in the hot seat over his implementation of the Emergencies Act. So there's a lot of other stuff going on. And with the delay tools and tactics of the conservatives, here we are, still not frozen. So, I mean, yeah, turn on the TV, go look at their social media. They're all over this. I actually, last week, incidentally, I was over at Stornoway, which is the residence of the official opposition. We were at the Conservative Hunting and Angling Caucus Wildlife Dinner, which is an annual thing they do every year. But for me, it was sort of like a speed dating lobby effort. You know, I've got 60 or 70 legislators, both MPs and senators, under one roof, and all their staff, right? So it was, you know, use the 3 hours that I was there to get around and speak to as many people as possible. And yeah, every single person is on board with this. So yeah, everyone's working their butts off on this issue.
Yeah, it's just important to know that stuff, right? Because if you're not on CPAC or you're not listening to our podcast or you're not on social media, it's very easy to to think that nothing's being done, but everyone is doing everything they possibly can, right? And this is how our system works. And we'll talk a little bit about that more in a second. But anyway, I just thought maybe since we were on the subject, I think it's important that people know what we're doing too. And so I wrote a couple of things down just to kind of touch on it. And I think the first thing is that when something big like this happens in gun control, if you have an organization that is able to do mainstream media and is able to represent gun owners as reasonable people that are being unfairly targeted by legislation that's generated for a political purpose, then you have an opportunity. And the CCFR, we take advantage of that opportunity. So between the two of us, we did over 40 interviews in like a week and a half, slightly less than 2 weeks. In fact, I did two yesterday, one with a Japanese reporter for the New York Times, but in Japan. And what was the other one? It was, it was for Saga 960. I think it's 960.
That's funny. I was on Saga 960 yesterday, too.
The day before, I think.
Or the day before, that's right. I was doing my interview from a parking lot in Alberta. It was hilarious.
But So we did a lot of mainstream media interviews. And that's really important because our mandate is to educate the non-gun owning public about the firearms issue and basically let them know and show them the evidence that it's nothing that like they think it is. As I said on Global National the other night, if you peel back the curtain and look behind it, when you're talking about the gun control conversation in Canada, you will be shocked at what you find. It's not anything like what you think it is. So,
I often say too, mainstream people watch mainstream media. You know, I know TV and radio may be taking a hit with internet, but grandma and grandpa still watch the 6 o'clock news. Soccer moms still listen to talk radio in the car. Average people are listening to a lot of these conventional methods of media. And when they bring up something big like gun control, like the handgun freeze, or even the 2020 gun ban, when they start talking about this, excuse me, if we're not on there to voice our side of this debate and how it affects average Canadians who've done nothing to warrant it, then they never get that. They never get that that impression on themselves, right? So I think it's super important to continue doing media, and we do a ton of it. Yeah, so it's important.
Exactly. And if we're not there to tell our side of the story, they're only going to tell one side of the story.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's not really behind the scenes stuff, but our relationship with media, it's a pretty uncomfortable relationship because we have to criticize them and let them know that they're only telling one side of the story in order for them to give us the opportunity. We're always pushing and pulling with them so that Canadians can at least hear the reasonable, you know, our side of the story. So it's really important work. It's exhausting. It's very risky. You got to be decent at it to be able to do it. And the last thing you want to do is represent gun owners like angry, middle-aged white men that are clutching to their guns and quoting the American Second Amendment as part of their rights in Canada. Yeah. Like, just it's very difficult. It's nuanced work, and it's really important. We also have been working with and supporting the CPC in holding back this handgun freeze as long as we possibly can. That's something that's really important. Yeah. And as you mentioned, the CPC has really put a lot of effort, like basically it's all hands on deck. You know, they've been making their own videos, they're on social media, they're doing all kinds of things. And then the other thing too, is if you notice, and I alluded to this, and as I said before, I'm not going to, you know, hold out the CCFR and we're going to take credit for changing the direction of the Liberal Party. I mean, this is a terribly, deeply corrupt party that's holding power in Canada right now. And, you know, I can't claim to be that the CCFR is powerful enough, but if you notice, they did this in a very different way, and they're going through committee and everything as they were supposed to make a regulation change. They're doing it very differently than they did on May 1st, 2020.
And that's exactly right.
So somebody is holding them accountable, and the, you know, anyway, you can fill in the blanks to the rest, but regardless, whether it was the CCFR and the vigor in which we've pursued them in court, or and everyone else that's come along too, or it's some other thing, I'm definitely thankful for that. But their behavior was definitely different than they did last time around. And The last thing I want to mention is when it comes to the operations of the CCFR and the type of stuff that we do and continue to do on social media, through videos, on television, on podcasts, you know, all these different things, right? Interfacing with government. This is important work that needs to continue. And that's, it's chipping away at the public, at least the public that are still open-minded to some extent, chipping away at their impression on what the firearms issue is. And the reason why that's important is in Canada, and we get a lot of frustrated commentary, you know, how come you haven't been able to stop this? Well, in Canada, here's how it works. A majority government can basically do anything it wants. And it's proven, this government has proven, it can take your rights even to travel. It can take your rights to work away using the way that Canada is structured. Okay? The only way to stop this is to get enough Canadians to vote for a majority conservative government and roll it back. That's it. So the work that we're doing, it's basically we're paving roads. We're not building cars to get you around. We're paving roads here. So anyway, it's probably, I just thought maybe it's worth mentioning because a lot of people, they misunderstand, right? Like we don't pay politicians. We've never funded a single politician. We've never made one single donation ever.
No.
It's not how it works in Canada. It's not what we do. You know, we're paving the way so that a majority government, when it's time, which this election is a change election, this next election, 2.5 years from now, it's going to be a long haul, but we're paving the way for a new government. And then things will be different. Then we have an opportunity to change our focus and lobby government and help them get the changes that we need. Anyway, I know it's a lot. Exactly. Yeah, but.
It is frustrating because it sucks to constantly lose. Yeah. And like, aside from what I do here at the CCFR, I'm also a gun owner and I'm also a person just like everybody else who's under attack. So I get the frustration and, you know, I get a lot of kind of rhetorical type commentary, you know, why don't you stand up? It's time to put an end to this. And I'm like, define that. What is that? What does that look like? Like, what do you mean stand up? What do you mean, you know, we've got to take charge of the situation? I'm like, what? So, yeah, I get the frustration, but this is the problem. They've got their coalition government with the NDP. And, of course, they've also got the support of the Bloc for the most part in committee on this. So they've got the support they need to just do whatever they want to us. And they're gonna continue to do that until they're removed from power. So there's no stopping them. All we can do is make it extremely difficult, uncomfortable, arduous, and not so politically satisfying. So those are the types of things that we have to work on.
Well, and don't forget, I've tweeted this a couple of times, right? You know, like, which is meaningless, right? But just for the leftist Twitter trolls on Twitter, remember, the Liberal Party of Canada, and it's not even really the Liberal, it's not your grandfather or your father's Liberal Party, right? This is an entirely different animal. And make no mistake, it is an animal. They have lowered the bar on how governments deal, you know, governments conduct themselves administratively. They have lowered the bar. It's funny, I mean, you know, screaming and yelling and screaming and jumping up and down like a bunch of sociopaths about Stephen Harper. I mean, they made Stephen Harper look like an angel from heaven as far as the way that he administrated government. And I wasn't a huge Harper fan. I wasn't even really into politics, right? So I would have to claim some level of ignorance, but I know he did things that people didn't like. But I remember there's a bill, C-51. It was a security bill, anti-terrorism bill. I think it was C-51 that I was like, what is this? What is this garbage, right? Because I don't like government in my life at all. And if you look at the way that the Liberals have conducted themselves, it's nightmarish. It really is. That's not even hyperbole. So now they've lowered the bar. Oh, you can just throw OICs and change the way Canadians live their daily lives. Well, I don't want to see one single Liberal tear roll down a single Liberal cheek about government abusing power next time around. And this is the reason why we all have to work together and stick together as Canadians, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, because when you think it's okay for government to use power against your political enemies, that power, this is democracy, man. It's mob rule, really, right?
Yeah.
That's what democracy is. It can be turned around and used on you. And I don't like it when it's used on anybody. Unfortunately, people on the other side, they rejoice in this stuff. And you've seen populations act like that throughout history in some pretty dark days. So anyway, just remember that next time you're cheering on the government using force against people inappropriately just for ideological pursuits.
Absolutely.
Am I standing on a soapbox? Maybe.
Maybe. But you're not wrong. If you're going to use the tools and the sneaky ways of circumventing democracy and cheer it on because it's in the direction you want, then get ready because they will not be in power forever. And when the ship's turned around and go on the other way, be prepared to be on the receiving end.
Well, you and I and a lot of other people have a Twitter archive. We screenshot all this stuff, and all those people that'll be complaining will say, "Oh, remember this?" But anyway, and when you say it's, you know, circumventing, like, this is democracy. And then a lot of people don't understand this. Mob rule, that is what democracy is.
Yeah.
Right? For better or worse. I'm not saying it's the worst system. I'm just saying, like, see things for what they are, right? I see things for what they are, you know, for better or worse. And that's, yeah, it's mob rule. So two wolves and a sheep deciding on what's for dinner, right? Remember that one?
Yeah.
All right. Enough of that political talk. We've been that for 17 minutes almost. Okay. Wolverine Days. Let's talk about something a little bit more fun, a little more positive.
This is exciting because this is one of my favorite events of the year, and I will be heading out to Verdun, Manitoba to the beautiful Wolverine Days event, June 25th and 26th. Now, if you can't make it out there, there's still a way that you can get involved. They have a promotion going on right now called the Patch Promo. And what it is they sell a little patch. It's $22, shipping included. $20 of that goes to help two different charitable causes. So one is Stars Air Ambulance, very important. Helps airlift people in tragic situations. And of course, the other half goes to the CCFR, which helps defend your rights. So what they do is they sell these patches. There's only 1,000. They're already half sold out. And everybody who buys a patch gets entered in to win. So far, there's 3 prize packs up on their website. They're amazing, like amazing prizes. So yeah, if you've got $20 to throw at this, it's a great cause. They're almost sold out. There will only be 1,000, and that's it. So big thanks to the whole gang at Wolverine. I cannot wait to get out there and see everyone and enjoy some shooting with the Hipwells.
Yeah, for sure. If you've got the time and now, even if you're not vaccinated, you can fly, I guess, as of today. Isn't that something? You're allowed to go where you want in your own country.
Maybe you should come with me.
So anyway, on to the next thing. We've got I don't know. Maybe I will. When is it?
Not this weekend. Next weekend.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I can't do that. But I would really like to get out there to do that one day. Did they have it last year? I can't remember.
I don't think so because of the pandemic. It's been 2 years.
Okay. All right. All right. And last but not least, the CCFR AGM is coming. What is it? Not this weekend, but next weekend, right?
Yeah, same weekend as Wolverine Days. So I will be taking a break from Wolverine Days and hanging out in my hotel room to host the AGM. It is a 1-hour virtual online event. We'll do departmental updates, kind of let you know what's going on, and of course, announce the results of our director election in Ontario, which was the only province to have a contest. The other provinces were acclaimed, but we'll introduce you to all your new directors and leadership team at the CCFR and break into a new year.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully this will be the last time that we do it virtually. If the world can get sane again, then we can physically get together again like the old days, right? I mean, those were some of my favorite CCFR memories were the AGMs, especially the first couple, because it was new and it was actually working and, you know, that whole thing. But anyway, if you're a member, don't miss the AGM. I mean, we keep you pretty well informed with the podcast and the television show and, you know, periodic videos and all the rest of that, the newsletters every week. But nonetheless, you know, you can check that out if you're a member. And, you know, I'll mention one more thing before I let you go. It's funny because before the pandemic, it was very rare to do things virtually in the CCFR when we first started. Remember I said, one of the things that I love the most about us is that we always broadcast our AGMs. We had cameras in the room and a live telecaster and everything, and it went up onto YouTube.
Yeah.
We broadcast our AGM so every single member would have a chance to attend the business meeting so that they could see what's going on rather than not know anything unless they could fly there or drive there from senior city. So if you are a current member, a link to the AGM will come in an email, I guess, sent to all the members. You click the link and you can get into the AGM. And that way you can watch the business meeting, as exciting as that is.
Unfortunately, it's not nearly as exciting as the in-person ones, but you know, we got to, at the end of the day, it is a business and we got to report on things, and it's just great to see everybody get together.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the update. And we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 119 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I've got something to go over with you guys before I let you go. And it's really, really important. Do not allow yourselves to get demoralized. Don't allow yourselves to get exhausted by people hammering on you. And when I say people, I'm talking about people on social media, people in mainstream media, some malevolent, unimaginably horrible federal government bureaucrats. Don't let these people continue to hammer you and you get demoralized and frustrated and disappointed and then have you give up. Okay, don't give up. So what is giving up looking like? What are they trying to do to you? They're trying to get you to sever all contact with the system, right? You oppose them, therefore they will exhaust you and destroy you psychologically, emotionally, so that you disconnect and you no longer participate. And when you do that, you take your proxy, right? And you hand it to them. You take all of the power that you had, which is not very much as an individual citizen, but you hand it to them, okay? And don't allow them to do this to you. They do it on Twitter. They exhaust you. They come back and forth 100 times arguing, like gaslighting you. Like, you have no proof. You'll post proof. And they'll be like, ha ha, this comes from the gun lobby. It's worthless. I told you had no proof. You know, you're like, either something's true or it's not, right? And you know that. So don't allow these people to get into your head. That's the most important thing that you can do, because we have a lot of work to do and we cannot give up. I'm going to tell you why that is, really. But let me just, I just want to share this with you. So when I first started with the CCFR, my background is in international business development. I did quite well doing that kind of stuff, and I was pretty good at it. And then this whole CCFR thing, I got interested. I'm like, you know, people are taking my guns away. I don't want them to do that. I'm looking around, like, who else is doing what I think needs to be done? I couldn't see anything. So when I was asked to start the CCFR or join the CCFR after it was started, I didn't start it myself. You know, I was like, I don't have time for this. And you know, my career's doing very well. Why would I want to do this? It's not really a lot of benefit other than saving my guns. But I was like, you need to do something in your life, right? Something that's to kind of contribute to others and preserve, stand up and fight for something that's important to you. I want my kids to be able to legally own firearms and their kids, because it's an important thing. I've thought it through and it's an important thing. So anyway, when I first started doing the CCFR stuff, I would take a lot of this stuff personally. You wouldn't see it because I have a lot of discipline. And I know that those of you that supported me and the CCFR, it wouldn't do you any good if I started to respond emotionally. I mean, I do on occasion. I'm not a machine, but I try to keep that under wraps. But what I ended up doing, it was starting to occupy my thoughts a lot. And I wrote on my whiteboard, this was a number of years ago, if you can be more dispassionate, you will be more effective. And you can do this job longer, because I knew I had to do it a little bit longer, right? At least until somebody better comes along. Still holding out hope for that, there's no other way that I could do this job this long with this much abuse and ridiculousness, like strange gaslighting, kind of weird stuff going on. Because I don't like that stuff, right? It's immoral way to interact with other people, and it would normally bother me. And so that was on my whiteboard for about a year and a half, and bit by bit, I was like, okay. What really matters in my life? It's my relationships with the people that are close to me. It's my family. It's my extended family, right? I can, as long as I can make a living and I'm trying to make my way towards retirement or whatever, just think about the things that are important to you in your physical life. And you focus on those and you understand that the rest of this stuff, while you may still have to participate or while it's in your benefit to participate, it's really meaningless. So if you remember, I got hate mail there a little while ago, right? And I mentioned it in the last podcast. And I'm going to be totally honest with you, absolutely brutally honest. When I opened up that email and it started with all this crap and you should snuff out your puny little life and lots, like, it did not give me that pit in my stomach. You know, when someone's insulting or whatever, like, it didn't even faze me. Right? I've gotten good at it. I looked at that and it was pitiful. I had pity, but not even sympathy, right? I was like, this poor guy is so angry and so frustrated and so powerless that he exerted all of this effort and all this emotion to send me this email. And at the end of the day, I just don't freaking care. It didn't even faze me a bit. I'm like, this guy's having a hard time. And that's it. And the only reason it's still in my inbox is because I wanted to read it for you, just to see the kind of craziness that happens. So you have to be resilient to that stuff. You have to focus on what's important in your life and really put these people where they belong, which is in no man's land, right? In Nowheresville. But if you can compartmentalize this stuff, don't have an emotional response to people that are trying to purposefully invoke that or provoke that in you, then you'll be able to continue to participate. You won't give them your power, okay? And you'll live a better life. And I don't know, I mean, just from me talking to you for 5 minutes, I don't know if that's going to help, but I'm just trying to pass on how that's helped me and allowed me to continue to oppose these people, because that work needs to continue to be done. Now, I get a few messages. The reason why I brought this up is every once in a while, somebody, I can see the frustration and the desperation in their comments. They're like, this system, you know, you'll never change anything. It's not even worth trying. It's a waste of money. Or even, you know, when they want to direct it, it's their frustration at somebody, which they do to me. I get hate mail from gun owners too. You know, what have you guys ever done? Just like you said, we're still losing. You haven't done anything. And it's like, okay, well, hang on. Just so you know, in our system, like I said, like we talked about with Tracy, in our system, the federal government can basically do whatever it wants to anybody it wants. We don't have a U.S. Constitution that has traction like theirs does. We have worthless paper that works sometimes when the system wants it to work, and doesn't work other times when the system doesn't want it to work. It's not very good. So in our system, federal government can do anything. So one government does all this crazy stuff, like the Trudeau government, the worst government in the history of governments in Canada, by far. Like, wow. If you're paying attention to what's going on, it's unbelievable. But another majority government or coalition government can undo all of these things. And it's bad and it's good. It's good for us certainly now, because they can wind all this stuff back. It's complicated though. We may not get everything back. Who knows? But we got to get there. So the reason why we don't give up now, even though we've been losing this whole time, because we've been under a majority or a coalition liberal government. That's how it works. We have to continue to fight. You give up now and everything we've done is meaningless, and we're not going to get what we want. We won't get our stuff back, right? So what has to be done? Why do we still exist? We exist really to do two things. We're paving the road for a new government. We're working on teaching non-gun owning, the silent majority of Canadians what's really going on with the gun issue. Because if people really understand it, if they really look into the details, they come to our side of the story. End of story. Like, that's why I'm the one that says, hey, I'll debate anyone. We'll donate $15,000 to have the doctors debate. They're not going to come anywhere near me. They know that. All they know how to do is claim that they have evidence. While we have studies that show their evidence is ridiculous. What study in the world that they have in their hands of all the world's consensus have ever asked for a total ban on guns? What study ever asked for that? And even if there is there more than a couple? I don't know. They could never support that. Instead, they call us names and say we're harassing doctors and we're, whatever, right? We're misogynists and racists and all the rest of that stuff. So we have to continue to educate the general public. And you know what? Most of them don't listen to us, but a few do. And we know that it changes. It's a game changer when you take someone shooting and they're like, okay, well, I see how this works. It's not dangerous unless you point it at another person and pull the trigger and it's loaded. Okay, well, I think I could operate this. I would like to have a gun, right? Because this is how it works, right? This is how it worked with me originally. So we need to continue to do that work between now and the next election, 2.5, 3 years. Okay, it's a long haul, but we're not going to give up. We're going to keep on going, and we're not going to let them demoralize us so that we do give up and give them our power. And then when the election comes, we have to be not demoralized. We have to be energetic enough to work really hard during that election period. And then when a new government comes in, if we are successful, we need to have the energy and the power as an organization to work with that government to get what we need, because they're going to need help. In the past, conservative majority and coalition governments or minority governments have not had that help before. It's been a bunch of gun owners saying, this is what we want. And then when they get it, it's like, all right. And then there's the government to stand there to go, okay, well, are we going to be a single term government because we gave gun owners all they wanted? This is the reason why you never got the changes when we had the chance, because these governments are like, well, I'm not going to repeal the Firearms Act or rewrite it. That's going to be unpopular and we'll only be a one-term government. This is not rocket science, man. You'll hear all kinds of stories out there, but I think a lot of stories you're hearing are self-serving, right? That's the reason why you haven't had meaningful change. I don't know, having gone so far down the line, whether we're going to get meaningful change. It's going to be really difficult. Once you lose rights or you lose property, it is incredibly difficult to ever get it back because governments don't want to be a single-term government. So they want to just be incremental in what they're doing. Hey, even the liberals, right? They could have, when they got a majority, they could have just banned all guns. They could have done it like that. They always had the power. And you had the anti-gun people that's like, oh, why don't you take action? Like, oh, we're taking action, even though they weren't doing much. This is how it works. So we have to be a strong organization and a strong community right into the next majority conservative government, because that's the only way you are getting your guns back. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I've said this before, that is the only way you're going to get your guns back. And not believing in the system that exists, go ahead and not believe in it. That's not going to make any difference to that system. Okay. If they say, well, you know what, all the ARs, you have to just hand them in. We're sending the police to your door. You're in a new world, right? So we're trying to avoid that. So to do that, we got to stay strong. We got to stay involved. Compartmentalize the mental aspect of this stuff. Don't let these people exhaust you. They don't even really exist in the real world. So don't go back and forth to people that, you know, on social media or even in real life that are just there to exhaust you and demoralize you and break you. Break your will. Don't do that. Go back and forth two or three times. If there's nothing productive in that conversation, disengage. People don't even get more than two or three responses from me if I respond at all. Okay, so I hope I've inspired you a little bit. Okay, just from my experience at the CCFR and getting all the hate and all this BS, my reputation attacked for nothing because I disagree with these people. Just keep going. Do not give them your power. All right, anyway, if you want to support the CCFR, feel free to become a member if you're not a member, or make a donation, or if you do more than a $20 recurring donation, you're part of the Insiders Club, and then you can actually get into a web meeting with me once a month and ask me your questions directly, and we'll talk and whatnot. So there's a lot of different ways you can support the CCFR. Try to get CCFR to insure your club. That's the other thing, because we have a lot of work to do between now and the next election, and then from the next election through that election cycle. Okay? Don't give up. Don't let these people exhaust you. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.